Bullish or bearish? Whether you're a rookie trader or a rock star, we believe there's room for everyone. Every Filipino can learn how to trade. We're just your average Joe. But together, let's take advantage of the greatest equalizer of wealth ever, the stock market, where millions can be made and lost in a click of a finger. The journey to trading mastery is a lifetime, and we're here to stay. We are ZFT, and this is where the hot money is.
Ayun. So, good evening, guys, and welcome to ating Ask ZFT episode for tonight. This is episode 59, and this is Coach Cosmos. And so, we'll be answering some questions from traders in our community. And sa mga kakapasok lang, make sure to post or share your questions sa ating Ask ZFT podcast channel sa Discord. And invite your AG mates and sabihin nyo na it's Ask ZFT time. Isang oras lang naman. Okay, sige, simulan natin. So we have a question here. This question is from Joshua. I think before marami lang na contribute na questions tong si Joshua, no? Familiar yung name niya sa akin. Sobrang dami na natin sa TR, no, but I can still familiarize some of your names kung naging student ko man kasi sa PIT or maybe NTI. Ayan. So, ito yung questions niya. Ito yung question niya. Hi, Sir Cosmos. I've asked other mentors na rin with this, pero just want to know your insights as well. May suggested po ba kayong roadmap or framework to start trading crypto virtually? Paano mag-start? Anong mababantayan para mag-grow? Short only o long only muna? Anong time frame? Leveraging any tips po would be highly appreciated. Trading PSE virtually po ako since last year. And now contemplating on switching to crypto kasi I need more muscle on executions. I think mas mabilis makakuha ng data pag lumipat ako ng crypto, and I think wala naman siguro masyadong harm kasi di pa naman real work gamit and more of niche finding and practice ang goal. Really good question. Ang daming tawag nito other than yung main question niya of trying the crypto market, marami siyang masiningit na other aspects like virtual trading, finding your niche, getting more data. Okay, shinare niya din regarding his desire to have more muscle in execution. So, sasagutin natin yan lahat. Okay. Nakapag-attend ba kayo nung FGD ba yun? Or parang live charting ni Ken at ni Messino? Sino dito yung naka-attend nung session na yun? So, I happen to attend yung live nila, pero hindi ko na simulan sa ano eh, sa first part talaga. So nasa gitna na, and one of the questions that Ken asked kay Coach Messino or kay Sir Messino was, ano yung best market na pwede mong subukan this time, okay, sa current time natin? And sabi ni Messino, it's the crypto market, and I fully agree with that. Okay, dati sobrang fanboy ako ng PSE. Well, fanboy ako ng PSE kasi number one, it's our local market, syempre, so support local tayo. And number two, I found it relatively easy to trade PSE kasi limited trading opportunities, right? Kukonti lang yung pwede mong i-trade every month, kukonti lang yung gumagalaw. And at the same time, it's only in a single direction, diba? So long-only market lang siya. But over time, mapapansin nyo, no? Especially the more markets are available to the public and the more liquidity is flowing to other markets, mapapansin nyo na meron siyang significant effect sa PSD. So, PSE traders, listen very carefully. Huwag kayong magulat if there will come a time in the future na yung ginagawa nyo before sa PSE, like yung setups or the way you trade the market, is magiging hindi na siya effective. And in fact, ako personally, na-experience ko na yan. And hindi lang ako, no, si Boss Lee, okay, the reason bakit nag-decide siya to leave PSE for good is mainly because of that. And if you ask Ken or other mentors, all of us will tell you na medyo magiging mababa yung edge natin, okay, with our system sa PSE recently. Okay? And there are a lot of factors to this, but if there's one factor behind it, it's really about liquidity. So remember, liquidity and volatility in any market, they go hand in hand. Hindi pwedeng volatile yung market pero walang liquidity. Okay, delikado yun. Yun yung instance na pwede kang magkaroon ng malaking slippage. Okay? Hindi din pwedeng liquid pero hindi naman volatile. So an example of that kind of market is some forex pairs, di ba? If you look at the forex market, may mga forex pairs dyan na sobrang liquid. Like, umaabot sila ng billions of dollars per day in terms of value traded. Pero, dahil walang volatility, hindi din siya effective trade. So, when you try to look for a market sa panahon ngayon, you need to ask, ano yung perfect balance of liquidity and volatility? And I think if you ask that, iisa lang yung market na pasok sa isip nyo. And that's the crypto market. Okay, so I don't blame people like Joshua na ngayon parang ang gusto niyang mangyari is mag-switch to crypto. I think that's a very good move. Okay, so again, if you're trading PSE market lang, kumbaga parang fanboy kayo ng PSE tulad ko, I suggest na you try to reconsider ano yung opportunities na meron sa crypto market. And it's not just about opportunities. It's also about the number of trade the ability to quicken your learning curve. Kasi 'di ba, maraming trading opportunities, mas mapapractice mo yung execution mo. And mas napapractice mo yung execution mo, mas nagagamay mo yung ins and outs ng trading. Okay? So with that in mind or with that said, punta tayo dito sa question niya. What's the best way or the best starting point to trade the crypto market? There are many ways to approach this, honestly. Okay, hindi to siya black and white. But siguro yung unang question mo dapat is, what kind of trader or persona as a trader are you going to bring to the crypto market? Okay, hindi lang to siya about your niche or your profile. Okay, so that's another question that you have to answer. But when we say trade persona, this boils down to ano yung expectation mo na gusto mong mangyari when you trade the crypto market. Syempre, yung common expectation dyan is gusto mong kumita ng pera, di ba? But be more specific, like what's your timeline? Ano yung tinitingnan mong timeline when it comes to trading this market? Are you talking about like itetrade mo lang siya ng let's say 2 years and then after 2 years, once nakuha mo na yung results na gusto mo, okay ka na? Okay, is that what you want? Or are we talking about like lifetime of trading the crypto market? Kasi magkaiba yung magiging effort mo at magkaiba yung magiging focus mo in your first 3 to 4 years with that answer in mind. Okay, nag-gets niya ba? And number 2, what kind of size? Or, kasi pag sinabi natin size, ang isipin nyo agad is amount of capital eh. When I say size, ano yung parang level of investment, o yun na lang, level of investment na ibibigay mo dito sa market na to over the long term. May mga traders, ang goal nila is just to trade their own capital. Okay? So, sariling pera lang nila. May ibang traders naman, ang goal nila in the long term is mag-manage ng funds. Now, sobrang iba ng magiging roadmap mo if you choose either of these two, no? Kasi if you just plan to trade your own funds, hindi ka kukuha ng capital sa iba, okay? Siguro magte-trade ka but hindi 'yun yung parang goal mo talaga. Kung may magi-invest sa iyo, define. Pag wala, okay lang rin. I have my own capital. Okay, if that's the kind of long-term capital management na gusto mong gawin, then big consideration or big factor 'yon with how you'll start in this market. Okay? Kasi, to be honest with you guys, di ba, usually, maririnig nyo na pareho lang yung strategy whether you're trading 10,000 pesos or you're trading 1,000,000 pesos. Okay? Kumbaga, kung paano mo ginagawa, paano yung process mo or paano yung mindset mo sa 10,000 pesos, kayang-kaya mo lang yun i-replicate pag umabot ka ng 1 million or 10 million. Okay? You will hear that from other traders. But ako, based on experience, it's not the case. Sobrang iba ng magiging parang hindi lang in terms of your mindset or risk tolerance but even in your strategy. Kumbaga if you're trading a $200 account at ang goal mo lang is idoble yan every month through scalping, that's fine. Walang problema doon. But if you have that kind of the same expectation na idodoble mo yung account through scalping with a $1 million account or 1 million pesos account, hindi siya, kumbaga hindi mo siya pwedeng ma-replicate lang agad ng ganun. Okay, so Joshua and anyone na parang ganito yung question nila, yun yung two considerations that you have to think about before you even start your roadmap. Okay, so ano yung two na yun? Yung ano to? Yung parang persona na dadalhin mo in the market over the long term. And number two, your size or how you plan to manage your capital. Anong klaseng capital yung gusto mong i-manage? Okay, gets ba? So after having those two questions or those two considerations in place, punta tayo sa roadmap. So ano dapat? Saan dapat mag-start? In terms of time frame, paulit-ulit, kahit sa PSE, ito na yung sinasabi ko, even in the crypto market, you always go for higher time frame. Now, what is higher time frame? Sa PSE, okay, yung time frame talaga na dapat gamitin natin is daily. Now, pag sa crypto, hindi ibig sabihin na yung higher time frame or yung parang ideal time frame, hindi na lang higher time frame, ideal time frame na lang. Yung ideal time frame to start your trading mastery is not necessarily daily rin. Diba? Because different markets have different liquidities at different schedules. Nagkataon lang talaga pag nasa PSE ka, since ilang oras lang ba yung market natin? 4 hours lang, diba? So, tama ba? 4 hours, 9. 9:30 mag-o-open, tapos magsasarado 12. Tapos mag-o-open ng 1, magsasarado ng 3. So, more or less around 4 to 5 hours, diba? So, what is 4 to 5 hours of trading volume compared to a 24-hour market like crypto? Okay, kaya diba mapapansin nyo, yung daily chart sa PSE at yung hourly chart sa crypto, in terms of the dynamics of that time frame, like paano yung candles, ano yung itsura ng mass structure, diba parang pareho sila? Because it's because of that, diba? Magkaiba yung time, magkaiba yung schedule nila, and mas, sabi na natin, yung liquidity ng PSE sa isang araw is the liquidity and volatility of the crypto market in an hour, or maybe sometimes within 15 minutes lang. Okay? So, with that in mind, time frame. Pinakamababa siguro 1 hour. Yun yung parang suggestion ko. Any time frame below 1 hour, if you're a complete beginner or if you're like in your first year or first 6 months of your trading, any time frame below 1 hour in the crypto market is not going to give you that kind of mastery and familiarity with how the market is work, how the market is functioning. Okay? So 1 hour. But if you can try 4 hours, for me that's better. Okay? Ako masasabi ko, in terms of mastery, yung level ko sa crypto is not as high as the PSE. In fact, I'll be honest enough to say na marami sa inyo mas magaling mag-trade ng crypto market over me. Okay? I consider myself as a beginner in the crypto market. That's the truth. So, pero even if that's the case, since medyo sabi na lang nating nagdi-deep dive ako when it comes to data gathering and backtesting and all of this stuff, di ba? Mas meron akong basis. Even if hindi ko hindi pa ganun kalaki yung experience ko and yung mastery ko, yung basis ko is the data na nakita ko when I'm backtesting the crypto market. So, some of you know na maliban sa backtesting, I'm trying to create different scripts, tinatry kong gumawa din ng bots. So, lahat ng yun, ang purpose ko lang now is not to earn but to gather data. And based on all my data gathering, any strategy na nirarun ko, okay, automated to, backtesting and forward testing. Any strategy na nirarun ko below the 1 hour time frame has negative expectancy. Okay? Yung mga strategies na ginagamit natin like ano ba yan? Sa ZFT, yung mga setups, yung mga CTP, yung mga ganon. Okay, pwede mo naman kasi yung i-automate if gugustuhin mo. Kailangan mo lang siyang pag-aralan. When I tried to test it in any time frame below 1 hour across all coins in the crypto market, lahat sila or siguro 90% of them negative expectancy. And it's really interesting kasi ganito ah. Pag tinest ko siya, like let's say 15 minutes, tinest ko yung isang strategy sa 15 minutes, over, let's say, 2,000 trades. So I think 2,000 trades, good sample size na yun, diba? Ang expectancy niya, sabi natin, yung port is masusunog ng 80%. So 15 minutes yon na time frame. But using the same strategy, pag inakyat ko yung time frame ng 1 hour or 4 hour, mag-grow yung port ng 40-50%. Okay? Yung time frame lang pinalitan ko, ah, the strategy is exactly the same. All the parameters are the same. Okay? The coin kung saan ko siya binabacktest is the same. Just the time frame. Ganon kalawak yung difference in terms of expectancy and in terms of results. Kaya careful talaga kayo na pag may nakita kayong strategy na mukhang gumagana sa lower time frames, like mga intraday, 5 minute, 1 minute, 15 minutes, mukhang gumagana doon. Baka kasi yung nangyayari is, mukha lang talaga siyang gumagana. Kasi, maraming factors eh. Minsan, you just happen to find yourself at the right side of probability. But once you have a lot of trades in that time frame, sabi natin, no, nagka 1,000 trades ka, makikita mo na iba pa rin if you trade higher time frames, okay, in terms of results. And hindi lang in terms of results, in terms of stress, di ba? In terms of screen time, in terms of planning, okay? Iba yung process of planning for 1 minute, 5 minute, or 15 minute time frames versus your planning in the 1 hour or 4 hour. Diba? Mas mabibigyan mo ng time yung sarili mo to really think and observe the market. Kasi yung volatility at yung price action na ino-observe mo is hindi siya ganun ka, ano bang tawag dyan? Yung parang instant na nangyayari. Like in real time, you have to adapt every single candle. Every 5-minute candle, kailangan mo mag-adapt. Kasi that's new information. Okay? So that's my take on time frames. Again, this is just my personal take. So if you're trading and nakita nyo na gumagana naman sa'yo yung 1 minute, 3 minute, and marami ka ng sample size for that, then go ahead. Okay, I'm not discouraging you to trade those time frames. Okay? So yun. Ano pa yung tinanong niya dito? Long only or short only? Ako, masasabi ko na pwede mong pagsabayin if you really want not. But syempre, since the market is moving in cycles, dapat meron kang way to like determine kung ano yung market now. Like, should you be net long or net short? Okay? So, itong concept na net long or net short, I always see this from traders na, kumbaga, kung sa ano pa yun, sa leaderboard ng Binance, mga top 10, top 20. Okay? I follow them on Twitter, and I always hear this phrase, net long or net short. Ang ibig sabihin nito pala is they're not 100% long and they're not 100% short. Okay? Pag sinabi ng net long sila, they have a mix of positions, may long, may short, pero in terms of the totality of their portfolio, like kung ina-net mo lahat ng long and short, ang ending is either they're net long or net short. Okay? So, in any given market, especially in the crypto market, dapat alam mo if the market condition is a net long market or a net short market. I would love to share yung parang samples ng mga big traders. So, subukan kong mag-search now while we are discussing. Okay? So, that's the concept. Kailangan meron kang way to determine whether the market is net long or net short. So how do you do that? Syempre, there's market recognition. Okay, that's one. Dapat marunong kang magbasa ng cycles. And for me, pag sa crypto, basta maintindihan mo lang kung nasaan tayo sa BTC. Okay? That's putting it too simple, no? But for me, just start with understanding the cycles of BTC in terms of its price action. Okay? Kasi most of the coins in the crypto market, as many of you know, correlated lang sila sa movement sa Bitcoin. Okay? Kung ayaw mo ng Bitcoin, sige, go for Ethereum. More or less, parang same lang naman sila in terms of correlation with other altcoins. Right? So, there's that. Ayan, sabi ni Sir Peter dito, 3 minutes time frame, try ko trade scalping sa US stocks. Naku, 3 minutes, sobrang... Ano to? Sa una lang maganda, katagalan na nakakapagod at nakaka-stress pala. Yes. Kaya napapansin nyo, no, yung mga scalpers sa US market, since they're already trading a very fast time frame, like kunwari si Sir Aki, diba, sa money growers, ano yung ginagawa niya? First hour lang of the day, okay, sa open lang. Kasi imagine trying to focus on your screen for like sabihin natin 5 hours or 6 hours sa isang 24-hour market, tapos ang tinitingnan mong time frame is 3 minutes, diba? So unless you're doing botting or automated trading, sobrang stressful na, diba? Like, mano-mano mo talaga siyang gagawin. Kaya believe ako sa mga tao na talagang consistently profitable in those time frames, it means ibang level yung, hindi lang yung strategy nila, no? But in terms of their focus, their time management, yung stamina nila, mental stamina nila when it comes to trading very fast moves in that time frame. Ibang klase. Okay? So if you're one of those traders, good for you. Ako, hindi ko yun kaya, personally. Sasakit yung ulo ko. And tumatanda na tayo, so hindi na din yun ideal. Okay? Sige, while naglo-load yung gusto kong ipakita sa inyo, ano pa yung other aspects ng question niya? Okay, nasagot na natin paano mag-start. Okay? Virtual trading. I have nothing against virtual trading, but if you can... Eto, ganito na lang. If papipiliin ka, or if you have an option to trade virtual capital with, let's say, $200, that's around 10,000 pesos, no? Doon ka na lang sa $200. Right? So again, walang problem with virtual capital. Of course, not all of us have the luxury or the privilege to have capital na pwede mong sunugin for the sake of experience. Right? Kaya maraming nagte-paper trade. But, there's something about paper trading na hindi niya talaga kayang ibigay sa'yo kahit anong gawin mo sa kanya. And that's the part where you need to manage your emotion. Okay? And alam natin lahat na in trading, yung emotional management is very crucial, not just in your execution, but in your longevity as a trader. Kaya di ba maraming traders na nag-quit sila in their first 2 years, it's not because of natalo sila. That's just the byproduct of their mistakes. Okay? A trader quits not because of capital loss, but because of ano yung naging effect nun, nung losses na yon, sa emotions niya or sa like the perspective niya about the markets, yun yung nagpapakwit sa trader. Okay? And if you don't practice that, like if you don't learn the skill of detaching yourself, detaching your emotions from the outcome of your trades, kahit sabihin natin sobrang galing mo sa paper trading, like 2-3 years ka nagpa-paper trade, okay, nagjo-join ka na mga paper trading competitions like sa Investa, and every time you join, palagi kang first, it will never, for me, it will never translate into actual results. Kung magta-translate man siya, medyo malayo. Okay? Gets nyo ba yun? So, if you have the option, Sir Joshua, and yung iba na nag-iisip na gawin to, try to trade small capital. Okay? If kaya mo pa siyang elevate like a level of portfolio na not too big, na tipong pag sabi natin worst case nasunog yan, eh something bad is going to happen to you. Not too big, but also not too small to the point na pag nawala yan, parang wala lang sa'yo, hindi siya masakit. Try to strike that balance. Okay? Kasi if you do that, kumbaga you're already hitting two birds with one stone. Napapractice mo na yung execution. At the same time, natututunan mo din how to manage your emotions when you suffer those losing streaks or your winning streaks. Kasi yung mga streaks na yan, yung nagiging effect ng results ng trading mo sa sarili mo, hindi mo yun mararamdaman pag nagpe-paper trade ka lang or virtual capital lang. Okay, gets? So, just try to consider that. Leverage, no more than 5x for me. Yun din, I think yan din ang sasabi ng ibang crypto traders sa inyo. And then, yun, any tips? So, I think yun yung mga tips ko. Like, try real capital kahit maliit lang. And, yun, yung mga sinabi ko sa first part. Okay? So, I hope I was able to answer your question, Sir Joshua. And may follow-up question siya dito. experienced traders po yung sa net long net short, suggested nyo po ba yun for level 2 traders? Yung net long at net short na concept should always be followed regardless of the level that you're in. Kasi guys, it's not just about practicing your strategy. It's also understanding when is your strategy effective? In what kind of market condition or market cycle? Kasi kung parang, yung iba kasi ganito yung ginagawa eh. Like, they have a strategy. Every time na present yung strategy na yun sa chart, they just trade it for the sake of gathering data. Okay? Pero, again, nothing's wrong with having a goal na mag-gather ka lang ng data. Kasi yun yung sinasabi mo dito, di ba? Mas mabilis makakuha ng data pag lumipat ako ng crypto. That's actually a good objective. But hindi lang dapat yan yung objective mo. Dapat yung objective mo din is, okay, I'm gathering data, but I should gather the right data for the right market. Di ba? Hindi pwedeng nagtitrade ka ng isang strategy na sabihin natin, pang long market talaga siya, no? Pang bullish market talaga siya. And then ngayon, bearish yung market, pero just for the sake of gathering data, ititrade mo siya. Gets mo ba yun, sir? That's not going to give you or give that's not going to establish the right process and right habit sa'yo. Okay? So, kumbaga, even if you're trading virtual capital, dapat yung mindset mo, ang dala-dala mo sa market is, I'm trading real cash. Kaya ngayon, again, it goes back to that suggestion na kung kaya mong mag-trade ng maliit na capital, basta real capital, I think that would be better kasi doon mo talaga mapapractice yung process mo, yung emotions mo, etc., etc. Okay? Hindi naman ganun kahirap, guys, no, to identify ano yung klaseng market na meron tayo now. Like, sa crypto, I would say, at this point in my personal progress and research, I would say na technicals is not enough sa crypto market. I know that's a bold statement kasi syempre in DFT, we're teaching technicals, right? But yung dynamics kasi ng crypto market ngayon, iba na eh. Like if you notice how the crypto market moves, it's very sensitive to macro fundamentals. Okay? When a market is sensitive to macro fundamentals, if a market moves when there's something happening in the macro or in its fundamentals, ibig sabihin nun, may edge if you know how to understand the macro. This is very different from PSE. Kasi ako, I would say, hanggang ngayon, no, if you just go to the PSE and ang data lang or ang information lang na bibigyan mo ng focus is just the technicals, it's going to be enough. Okay? Maybe may added edge yung ibang traders na nakikita ko, like traders outside ZFP who are really making a killing in the PSE market. Nakita ko sa kanila, like they're looking at dividends, di ba? Tinitingnan nila yung what's that term? Net foreign buying and selling, which we don't look at in our own system, right? But they know how to use those information which are considered a little bit fundamentals na, di ba? And factor it in their technicals. Kaya mas parang improve, enhance yung edge nila. Okay? But again, if you just focus on technicals sa PSE, it can work. Okay? Pero sa crypto, especially if like ang goal mo is mag-manage ng millions, tapos you're trading big moves, hindi enough yung technicals. Kaya yan yung parang binibigyan ko talaga ng focus ngayon. I do a lot of research on the macro fundamentals of crypto with the goal of incorporating that in how I trade this market. Okay? So ito, going back pala doon, Sir Joshua, sa starting point ng question mo. Nung pumasok kasi ako sa crypto market, in-establish ko talaga sa mind ko na hindi ako magiging scalper. Okay, that's not something that I want to do. Even if alam kong kaya ko, hindi yun yung gusto kong gawin. Hindi din ako pupunta dito sa crypto market to be a momentum trader, which yun yung ginagawa ko sa PSD. I'm here in this market, ang dala-dala kong persona is a cyclical trader. Ibig sabihin, I don't look for minute moves. Okay, hindi ko habol yung mga 200% na times 10 leverage, which, again, nothing's wrong with that. Ang habol ko is yung swings na nangyayari either sa daily or sa weekly chart. So, a little bit more relaxed trading. Mas malalim yung drawdown, to be honest, kasi if you're trading big moves in the crypto market, yung sabi natin, no, yung 20% drop sa position mo is considered normal. Okay? Which is, di ba, iba siya pag sa PSE. Pag nag-drop yung, pag ako may hawak sa PSE na stock, tapos nag-drop ng 20%, tapos hawak-hawak ko pa rin yun, it means I violated all of my rules as a momentum trader. But sa crypto, pag nangyari sa akin and it's still within my risk, wala akong problem with that. Kaya ko yung hawakan. So you see, napakalaking factor talaga yung anong klaseng mindset and persona yung dala-dala mo when you enter a market. Okay? So yun. You have to think about that. Okay. Ayan, sabi ni Sir Peter dito, si Sir Alpha daw, purely technicals. Nako, si Sir Alpha kasi, masasabi ko no na meron talaga siyang parang built-in edge with the system na ginagamit niya. And I will tell you na yung ginagamit ni Sir Alpha na system, as far as technicals are concerned, hindi na yan siya 100% PFP. May bahid na yan ng personal touch niya. Na kumbaga parang na-fine-tune niya na yung ZFT system to his advantage. Kaya kahit yung technicals lang ng ZFT yung gamit niya, kaya niyang mag-generate ng consistent profit. Okay? So again, I'm not saying na that's not possible. Pwede yon. Pero ako kasi parang the way I look at the crypto market, ano na siya? It's going to be the best market to master in the next 10 years. And if you really want to master it, you have to observe ano ba yung, saan siya sensitive. And yung mga other traders na talagang sobrang taas ng edge, saan nila nakukuha yung edge nila? Okay, and what I found out is, most of these traders, if not all, ang edge nila is not just on technical. Okay? They know how to read the market outside of the charts. Which is yun yung gusto ko ding matutunan. Okay? Sige. We have two more questions here. Let's start with yung question ni Sir Dave nasa Discord natin, no? Good evening, Sir Cosmos. Pwede po ba kayong magbigay ng sample ng in-depth journaling? Like, besides sa trades na nasa journal, ano pa yung mga pwede kong i-record to see how I can improve? The reason I'm asking is I'm trying to find yung root cause so I keep doing the same mistakes and plan accordingly how I can fix it. Okay. When you have a journal, yan ito yung itsura ng journal, di ba? Pwede ba kung how do I... Kailangan ko ng whiteboard. Pag-share ko ba yung... Ayan. Kita nyo ba yung whiteboard? Pa-confirm naman if you can see the whiteboard. Ina na. Okay, sige. So, di ba, when you do a journal, it's basically every row is a trade, right? So, trade number 1, okay, number 2, number 3. Regardless kung anong journal ginagamit nyo, kung Minerva yan, edi maganda. Kung hindi naman Minerva, you have your own journal, then that's actually better. Okay? Ako no, if I'm given a chance, kung gagamit ako ng journal na ginawa ng iba versus a journal na ako mismo yung may gawa, I would go all the way with my own journal. Kahit sabi natin bulok-bulok lang yan. Kasi, if it's your own journal, you can do a lot of customization. But, when you make your own journal, at minimum, dapat mix siya of quantitative and qualitative data. Okay? Which is, kunwari sa Minerva, example sa Minerva, every journal meron siyang quantitative and qualitative data. So, what are quantitative data points? Nandun yung AEP, yung date, yung gain and loss, ano pa, yung holding time, anything na may number na attached doon sa data point, kailangan mo yung i-record lahat per trade. Okay? So I think, if you're doing journal, or if you have your own journal, given na yan. But for the qualitative, ito yung kailangan mong i-customize. Okay? Sa Minerva kasi, meron ng mga preset na qualitative data points doon. So ano ba yung example ng mga qualitative data points? Errors. Reason for buying. Reason for selling. Setup. Anong portfolio yung gamit mo? So, these are all qualitative. Hindi siya numerical. Okay? Now, yung ginagawa ko sa Minerva is even if it's qualitative, you want to limit it into a set of options. Diba? Kaya pag sa Minerva, pag nag-journal ka, sa settings, pwede mong ilagay doon. Ano yung mga reasons for buying ko? So, pwede yun, up to 10. Lalagay mo doon lahat ng reasons for buying. Breakout, buy on support, E1, E2, E3, E4, etc., etc. Then, reason for selling, cut point, target price hit, trail stop hit, tactical sell, etc., etc. So, you want it to be limited. Hindi mo pwedeng ilagay na parang sobrang dami yan. Kasi you want to identify patterns in your trade. If you don't know how to identify patterns in your trades, I mean in your trade results, mahirapan kang i-troubleshoot kung saan ka nagkakamali. Okay? When I say pattern, for example, sa errors, if you can think of just 5 errors or lahat ng errors na pwede mong magawa in trading and you categorize that into 5 categories, ano kaya yung mga errors na yan? Okay? Kasi sobrang daming errors, di ba? Right? But kung 5 lang yan, yung categories, ano yung 5 categories ng errors? Maybe it's a poor allocation. Okay? When we say poor allocation, di ba, captured na niya yung sobrang liit ng allocation mo or sobrang laki. Okay, that's poor allocation. And then there's mistimed entry. Samples lang to, mistimed entry. You have mistimed exit. Okay, you have lack of focus. And siguro sabihin natin, lack of discipline. O yan. So, 5 lang. Lahat ng errors na magagawa mo in your trades, kakategorize mo dyan sa 5. And makikita mo, like over, let's say, 200 trades, you see a pattern. Sa 200 trades, 40% of the time, pangit yung allocation ko. So, what we did there is, yung qualitative na data point sa bawat trade, na convert mo siya to something quantitative. Okay, gets ba yun? Ako, as someone na very quantitative, yun yung parang goal ko when I created Minerva. Like, how can I quantify things or data points in a trade entry na yung ibang traders hindi nila nagagawa yun? Okay? Now, okay, na-quantify mo na. But there's something na parang medyo mahirap i-quantify, right? Because every trade is unique, di ba? So, siguro may common denominator in terms of setup, in terms of errors, reason for buying, but there's one data point na talagang unique yan for every trade. Ano sa tingin nyo? Ano kaya yung data point na yan? Tingin nyo. Okay, if sabihin nyo sa akin na emotions, well, emotions can have a pattern in your trade data, di ba? Like, makikita mo, 50% of the time, fearful ako. So, fear is an emotion. So, makita mo, 50% of the time, fear yung nananaig na emotion sa trades ko. Okay? So, you can quantify that. Ano yung parang hindi pwede i-quantify? Okay? It's your experience for every trade. Now, experience is a really broad term, right? For me, experience is ganito. From the time that you entered the trade to the time that you exited the trade, what happened? Ano yung nangyari dyan? I used to do this before, nung beginner pa ako, kasi gusto kong, kumbaga parang yung journal, talagang niliteral ko talaga siya na parang journal or diary. Every trade ko, ginagawan ko ng kwento. So, simula ako, nakita ko to sa isang, sabi natin, nakita ko sa isang forum na marami nagtitrade, and then I traded it, and then pangit yung allocation ko, and so, kumbaga kwento ko kung ano yung nangyari sa trade na yun. So, that's unique for every trade. For me, yun yung dapat na i-record. Okay? So, yun yung dapat na, kumbaga, aside from the quantitative stuff and the qualitative stuff na pwede mong i-quantify, dapat meron kang experience column. Kumbaga, kung sa journal mo pa yan, may isang column ka dedicated just for that. Some, they call it notes. Okay? Okay lang yun. Sa Minerva, meron namang notes. Pero, call it experience. Okay? And doon mo makikita, when you do your year-end review, or sabi natin, every month ka nagre-review ng journal mo, babasahin mo yung experience na yun, and even if like, sabi natin, unique yung every experience mo for every trade, makakita ka pa rin ng pattern. Now, you collate all of that, okay, yung pattern sa setups mo, sa win rate mo, yung mga quantifiable from your errors and then your experience. Once you like try to reflect on all those information, dun mo makikita ano yung root cause why you keep doing the same mistakes. And dun mo din malalaman how to fix it. Right? So, very simple example. Pag may mga nagpapa-consult sa akin, isa sa mga requirements na hinihingi ko is yung trade data nila. Okay? Or at least 20 trades. Tapos kung may Minerva sila, yung dashboard ng Minerva nila. Even if yung dashboard lang yung makita ko, I have a, let's say, 80% to 90% idea kung saan sila nagkakamali at ano yung parang kailangan nila improve. Okay? Because those stats are averages. So, it shows ano yung parang tendency mo as a trader. If you have a, let's say, sa lahat ng errors mo, no, yung common error mo is your allocation is always poor. Tapos, in terms of your win rate is low. Your risk-reward ratio is high. Okay, so, okay yun, di ba? Mataas yung risk-reward ratio. Good. Yung win rate mo mababa, okay lang. Natural yun. Kasi, for strategies na mataas yung risk-reward, yung win rate, nahihila pababa. Pero dahil dun sa poor allocation, yun yung sumisira sa expectancy ng trader na yun. So, yun. Na-identify namin yun. And I advise or I suggest to the trader, okay naman talaga yung win rate mo. Yung iba kasi parang ang iniisip nila, pag mababa yung win rate, they automatically think na that's the problem. Kaya hindi umaangat yung port nila. Pero minsan, it's not the case eh. The win rate can be low, pero with the right risk-reward ratio, okay lang yan. Most of the time, it's in other factors. Like yan, sa allocation, pangit. Most of the time, it's more about attachment sa losses, attachment sa gains nila. So, sobrang attached nila doon sa results ng trade to the point na nakocompromise yung execution nila. So, those are some of the root problems na pwede mong ma-encounter if you have a comprehensive journal. Okay? Nasagot ko ba, sir? Dave, yung question niyo? I hope I was able to answer that. Okay. Meron pa tayong one more question here. This is from... it's a direct message, so anonymous question siya. Someone from Blueprint asked, Coach, paano masusukat if maganda ang stocks na nasa watchlist mo? May metrics ba nito for improvement? Thank you in advance. And so napaka, kumbaga, ito yung mga types of questions na qualitative pero hinahaluan na ng quantitative. Kasi yung ganda ng watchlist, qualitative yun eh. Pero tinatanong niya now kung may metrics ba, kung sa business pa to, may KPI ba, key performance indicators ba, para malaman mo na na-improve mo yung watchlisting mo. Okay. Ano bang goal ng watchlisting? Ano yung goal ng watchlisting para sa inyo guys? I-share niyo sa chat. So, why do we watchlist in the first place? Bakit kailangan nasa mga core part siya ng trading process. Screening, okay, focus. Pick the stocks that we want, correct? For me, ang mindset ko sa watch listing is this. Imagine lahat ng coins sa crypto gumalaw. Okay, lahat sila nag-moon, 'di ba? So if lahat nag-moon 'yan, what's the typical tendency for a trader? Hindi ba i-trade lahat? Now, when you do that, when that's the kind of approach that you'll have in trading, ano yung mga limitations na parang maghihinder you? It will hinder you from trading all the opportunities. Number one, capital. Okay? Siyempre, kung meron kang $1,000 capital, alangan naman, tigwa $1 lang ilalagay mo sa lahat ng coins, di ba? Number two, energy mo. If you have 1,000 positions open at the same time and you're manually managing all these positions, madedrain ka, di ba? Hindi lang pala madedrain ka, hindi talaga siya kaya. It's virtually impossible to do that. And number three, ano yung mangyayari pag nag-moon lahat? So, trade, subukan may trade lahat, hindi mo din mamonitor lahat. Number 3, wala na palang number 3. Number 2 lang. Yun lang, yung 1 and 2 lang. So, for me, when I do my watch listing, ang gusto kong mangyari is, after I watch this, I will have less energy, less time, okay, but more capital to invest in the opportunities na makikita ko. Okay? It's not just about screening or like, syempre focus, that's part of the, ano, but for me, it's not just about yung parang meron ka lang talagang watch this thing, kasi yun nakikita mo ginagawa ng ibang traders na may mga filters sila and all those things, no? For me, it's not just about that. It's about having that goal na you have from 1,000 or 1,000,000 opportunities, iti-trim down mo lang siya to, let's say, 10 to 20. Kasi, masarap yun sa feeling. Na 10 or 10 to 20 lang yung tinitingnan mo. Magaan sa feeling, hindi stressful and all. Okay? So, yun yung dapat na siguraduhin mo na natin na through your watchlisting, nangyayari talaga yun. Kasi if after mo mag-watchlist, tapos yung tinitingnan mo ngayon yung mga watchlist mo, stress ka pa rin or kulang pa rin yung oras mo to monitor or to check your watchlist. Or maybe ang nangyayari is may watchlist ka nga, may way ka to create your watchlist, pero ang nangyayari is hindi mo din natitrade yung watchlist mo. Something is wrong. Right? Either hindi ganun kaganda yung naging quality ng watchlist mo, or siguro sabihin na natin, hindi mo talaga in-embrace yung idea na pag nag-watchlist ka, everything else outside of that watchlist is out of the picture na. Okay? Yun yung metric for me. Siyempre, kasama na doon, di ba? Maybe, yung typical answer to this question is, siyempre, tataas yung win rate mo kasi mas maganda yung quality ng watchlist mo. Pwede din natin ilagay na parang nung napansin mo, after mo na enhance yung watchlisting mo, mas kumonte yung trades mo. Okay? Walang masyadong effect sa win rate mo. Kumonte lang talaga yung trades mo, pero na filter out mo yung mga typical losses mo in the past. So mas umakyat yung gains, 'di ba? Kumbaga parang hindi nagbago yung gain mo, hindi nagbago yung parang win rate mo, pero mas nabawasan lang talaga yung losses mo. Okay, that's another metric. Pero expected na yun pag maganda talaga yung process mo of watch listing. Beyond that, tingnan mo ano yung parang effect niya sa'yo like as a trader. Are you less stressed? Less ba yung energy? Less ba yung time na ginagamit mo now because you have this watch list? Are you at peace with the fact na anything na nangyayari outside of your watch list is hindi mo na talaga yun matitrade? Okay? Tanggap mo ba yun fully? If you can answer yes to all those questions, that's the biggest improvement for me na pwedeng mag-stem out from your watch listing. Okay? Does that make sense? Pero ano naman kasi, diba? Iba-iba naman tayo. All of us are different traders. I know traders, they can monitor 50 names at the same time. Yung iba naman, tatlong names lang, sasakit na yung ulo nila. So, diba, we have different strengths. Okay? Bottom, to factor in yung difference na yon, hindi mo dapat siya idaan sa parang just the number part. Like, ilan yung watchlist mo or how high, ano yung naging effect sa win rate mo and all this stuff. Dapat i-factor in mo din ano yung naging effect ng watchlisting process mo sa'yo, okay, as a trader, like in terms of your stress and emotions and everything. Okay? Ayan, sabi nga ni Mike, kaya kopya moves lang sa watchlisting. Alam nyo ba, ang nangyayari no, for some traders inside PR, since everyone in PR has a, hindi naman similar, but yung foundation ng system natin and process natin is the same. Yung iba, ginagawa nila, pupunta na lang sila sa PSC discussions. Diba? Kung PSC trader, pumunta sa PSC discussions, ano yung pinag-uusapan dito ng mga tao? Yun na yung watchlist nila. Kasi they have trust eh. They are confident na yung process ng mga tao dito is pretty much the same process that they have. Tapos kung ano yung pinag-uusapan nila, ano yung pinag-uusapan ng mga ibang traders dyan, yun na yung gagamitin nila. Parang initial watch list nila yun. Tapos filter na lang nila. So, mas mabilis. Crypto, nakikita ko din yan. Yung iba, pupunta lang sa crypto channel na titingnan. Ano yung tinitrade ng mga tao dito? Okay? Now, syempre, ano yun? Lazy type of watch listing yung ganun. But hey, if it works, why not, di ba? Less work, di ba? Others are doing the hard work of creating the charts and tinitingnan ano yung mga parameters na pasok. Tapos ikaw, titingnan mo lang, okay, tapos na yung screening nila. Ano yung pwede kong kunin dito? Yeah, same with quants, right? The reason why we have created simple quants. And when I say simple, kasi pag titingnan mo yung quants ng mga ibang groups, di ba, talagang sophisticated. Like BOH, if you're familiar with their process. Sila yung, I think sila yung pioneer ng black box when it comes to PSE. Diba? Talagang everything is there, no? Parang hindi ko naman sinasabi na that's bad, no? But talagang ano, comprehensive yung quants nila. So sa atin, simple lang. And ang goal naman yan is for you to just see ano ba yung market? Saan yung mga name? Sino yung mga leaders? And then from there, filtered na. Okay, yun na lang yung i-chart. Yeah, yun. Same objective with the newsletter. Okay? So thanks to Melvin and I think si Neil din, no? Involved sila sa newsletter natin. That's one way to help traders, not to give recommendations. Ha? Hindi yun yung ginagawa natin. Diba? We don't say na, oh, ito yung ito-trade mo kasi yan yung sinasabi namin. Hindi tayo reco group. Ang purpose niyan is just for watchlisting. Okay? So, yun. I hope I was able to answer yung question on watchlisting. Sino ba yung nagtanong nun? Kumutan. Ah, okay. Anonymous pala. So, yan. Hope nasagot natin yung question mo, sir. Okay lang naman po magkaroon ng favorite na coin stock. As long as may point. Don't call it favorite. Okay? Kasi pag sinabi mong favorite, parang may bias yun. Kasi what if wala talaga siyang ano? What? Wala talaga siyang... Kumbaga hindi talaga siya nagpapakita ng setup. Diba? Tama ba na you just stick to that kasi favorite mo siya? So, it's not about that for me. I will discourage that, Sir Ryan, if ever. Siguro, kung sa crypto, pwede to. Sa PSE, I don't think applicable siya. Like, hindi ko ma-imagine sa PSE kasi na parang mag-trade ka ng, let's say, Ali lang or GFC lang kasi yun yung favorite mo. Parang hindi siya mag-work. Kasi paiba-iba yung ano eh, paiba umiikot yung pera sa PSE across different names. I think sa crypto pwede. Like, yung ginagawa ko now with yung nasa 3Commas account ko, which is where I do my automated trading. Testing lang to guys ha, hindi pa siya yung makainisip yung kasi like automated trading. Parang natutulog lang ako tapos nakaka-generate ako ng hundreds of thousands of pesos in gains. Hindi ganon. Yun yung goal. Okay? So ngayon, data gathering. Yung data gathering ko is Ethereum lang. And ang reason is hindi kasi favorite ko yung Ethereum. Nung binabacktest ko kasi yung automated strategy, sa lahat ng coins, sa Ethereum lang siya pinaka maganda yung in terms of its historical performance. Dinay ko sa Bitcoin, okay lang. Sa mga altcoins, may iba-ibang altcoins na same strategy, masusunog yung portfolio if doon mo siya inallocate yung strategy na yun. So, sa Ethereum, pinaktest ko na in and out na lahat na ng combinations na pwede kong gawin. Talagang solid yung naging result sa Ethereum. So, yun yung binibigyan ko ng focus in terms of trading that strategy. Okay. So, hindi yun dahil sa favorite. It's just that doon siya pinaka nag-work. And if you're a trader, like, medyo matagal ka na sa market, mapapansin niya na may mga names sa market na ito trade mo na parang doon pinaka-effective yung ginagawa mo. Okay, does that make sense? I know forex traders, makaka-relate sila with this. Like, I know forex traders, ang tinatrade nila, Euro USD lang. Or Gold USD. any other forex pair hindi na nila hindi nila masyado binibigyan ng pansin, it's because yun yung parang nagamay nila. Okay, like alam ko yung mga ibang crypto traders natin, may mga coins kayo na parang yun yung hindi sa favorite nyo kasi favorite nyo lang, pero kasi doon nyo nakikita na gumagana talaga yung setup. Okay, so that can work. US traders, especially yung mga day traders sa US, yung mga liquid names lang like Nvidia, before nung sobrang volatile ni Tesla. Eh, nakita ko dati sa mga post ni Sir Aki, Nvidia at Tesla lang yung parang lagi niyang tinetrade most of the time, siguro 80% of the time. Dahil ba favorite niya? Siguro, naturally, magiging favorite niya kasi dun siya kumikita eh. But the real reason is because of their volatility and liquid sila eh. So kahit mataas yung leverage niya, nagtitrade niya ng maayos, wala masyadong slippage. Okay, you see? So, you need to really be conscious of how you label yung mga tinitrade mo. Preferred, yeah, I think that's the right. So, yun nga, no, more on labeling lang. Kasi, mahirap kasi pag sa back of your mind, ang inisip mo, may favorite ka eh. Kasi, favoritism is like, yun yung parang, whatever happens, kahit ano pa, kahit masama yung tao na yan, favorite mo pa rin siya. That's not right. You preferred with the right parameters. Okay? So, yun. Mahirap. Tama. So, mahirap daw, magulo ang label. Hindi, mahirap na mali yung label. Kasi baka yung intention mo, eto, pero yung label mo ganito, so, diba, it's prone to misinterpretation. You don't want that. Okay? Meron pa bang mapahabol na questions? Yeah. Really happy guys, no? I mean, singit ko lang. May mga consistent attendees talaga tayo. Every Ask GFT present. Yan, sina Mikhail. Like, eto sina Sir Eller. Lagi kong nakikita. So, we'll appreciate your attendance. Even if minsan, alam kong sobrang dami nating napag-usapan dito. Baka nagiging redundant na yung mga discussions, no? But hopefully, every time we have this weekly podcast, may mga nakukuha pa rin kayong bago. Okay? So, I think, may questions pa? Ayun. Okay, so we have one more question. Coach, may mga premature entry ka ba sa mga trades mo until now? Naku, marami, sir. Okay? Just to share, ah, ito, ako, you know me, guys, especially yung medyo matagal na sa TR. When it comes to performance or transparency, pag may nagtatanong sa akin, I just say ano talaga yung actual. Sa PSE ngayon, year to date, ano na ba ngayon, March? Normally, first 3 months of the PSE market, nandyan maganda yung performance kasi open of the year, right? So, medyo positive yung outlook. Ganun kasi ang normal sentiment sa PSE. So, up yung portfolio. Now, I'm down 7%. Year-to-date, support ko. Alam nyo bakit? Meron akong 13 losing streak. Okay? So, if you're break-even now sa PSE, or sabi natin up ka ng 2%, tapos disappointed ka sa sarili mo, ito, I'm here to tell you, not to comfort you, but just to give you an idea, like, ano kayang nangyari sa ibang mentors? I'm down 8% sa PSE because of a 13 trade losing streak. And, again, thanks to risk management, it could have been a double-digit loss, di ba? Kasi 13 trade, pag sabi natin 2% bar ka every trade dyan, edi down na yung port mo ng 26%. Pero again, thanks to risk management, sustained yung losses. Am I alarmed? Am I bothered with that drawdown? No. I know it's normal. And I know if the market turns back to my advantage, kayang-kayang bawiin yun. Okay? So, sometimes it's just really about understanding ano ba yung nangyari doon sa mga losses na yon. And one of those reasons is yung premature entry. Pero yung premature entry na I think nangyari sa akin sa PSC, like hindi pala premature entry, late entry pala. Sorry. Late entry pala yung most na nangyari sa akin, like kasi ako as momentum trader, yung most of my entries are really when there's momentum. So, typically breakouts yan. Not box breakouts, ha, but yung mga pivot breakouts, yung mga ganun. So, I traded FCG. Sa FCG pa lang, parang tatlo na yung cuts ko. Okay? Tapos nickel, dalawang cut. Espinec, dalawang cut. Ano pa ba yung mga trinade ko? Tingnan ko ngayong journal. Meron ako dito ang ano eh. So, wait ah. Keeper, ayan. FCG, keeper, nickel, and Espinec. Oh, yun yung four names na lagi kong tinetrade. Bloom, hindi ko tinetrade yung Bloom na yan. Ah, natrade ko siya once, cut din ako. So, most of my, if we think about the technical reason behind those cuts, it's more about late entry. Hindi pala siya premature. I rarely get premature entries pala. And sorry, Sir Peter, na misunderstood, na baliktad ko yung understanding ko sa label mo. Ayan, baliktad sa label. So, premature is too early, right? Parang nililista. Hindi naman sa nanakit, no? But it's just being conscious. Ano yung mga names na parang saan nag-stem yung losses natin? Okay? So, yan. Kaya shoutout sa mga PSC traders. Alam kong sobrang hirap mahalin ng PS ngayon, guys. To be honest. Maririnig nga din yan sa mga mentors. Diba? So, sobrang hirap mahalin ng PSE. Yung akala natin na parang tuloy-tuloy na sana. Well, again, ano ba yung reason bakit parang medyo nagkaroon tayo ng untog or resistance sa PSE? For me, ano pa rin eh, macro pa rin yung reason. 'Di ba? So, well, that's the market. Hindi naman talaga natin makokontrol 'yan, 'di ba? Even if you have all the technicals in place, bullish bias ka na, 'di ba? Okay na yung allocation and all, but the moment the market decides to turn, wala rin. Pero it doesn't mean na hindi worth it tingnan yung PSE now. In fact, I think sa lahat ng nangyaring pagpag sa mga iba't ibang names, now is the best time to really observe sino yung mga leaders. Do I still have open positions? Yes. Meron ako. Actually, isa lang. Na same lang kami ni Ken ng hawak. Mas malaki lang yung position na ano niya, position na hawak niya. Eh, hindi ko na sasabihin. Itatago na lang natin sa pangalang FCG. So, I think yun lang naman talaga kasi yung very evident leader, right? Na ilang beses nang nanakit. So, 3 cuts, ha? Now, wala. That's not in my... Medyo pangit yung consolidation in now, eh. For me. Okay? So, yun. Okay. We have a new question here. For a new trader, ano ba mas maganda unahin ni Master? Follow the trend of the market or trade the outlier? Very tricky to. Ah. Gusto kong sabihin na trade the outlier. Ah, wait lang. Sa crypto to, right? Gusto kong sabihin trade the outlier, pero hindi, crypto. Kung crypto tong pinag-uusapan natin, sir, it's always about the trend. Bakit? Kasi highly correlated ang crypto market. Unlike sa PSE, na pwede kasi sa PSE na the whole market is bearish. Tapos may isa or dalawang names na outlier. Pero even if outlier sila, pag sobrang bearish ng market, hihilain pa rin yung, kumbaga, they'll have more selling pressure kasi sila lang yung ano eh, sila lang yung up. So once players na down sila sa ibang positions nila, tapos kumita sila dito sa nag-iisa or itong dalawang outlier na to, they'll have more tendency to sell. Nag-gets ba yun? So, ito, konteng lesson lang with understanding how big players think when it comes to managing portfolios. So, di ba, pag big player ka, billions or millions yung hawak mo. Hindi mo naman pwede ipasok yan lahat sa isang name lang. So, kung bear market yan, most big players like sa PSE, what they do is they try to anticipate the bottom. So bibili yan, mag-average down yan, di ba? Pag may outlier and they happen to be in that outlier, yun lang yung nag-iisang up nila na position. Na-imagine niya ba? Like inopen mo yung AAA account mo, meron kang 20 positions, tig 20 million yung hawak mo doon. Tapos yung FCG lang at yung Bloom yung up. So what's your tendency? Ano yung parang emotions na parang dominant sa'yo, it's you're very cautious. Okay? Alam mo kasi down ka sa ibang positions mo. So when these two outliers rally, mas mataas yung magiging inclination mo to sell. Unlike pag bull market, all your positions are up. Hindi ka magkakaroon, di ba? Kahit sabihin natin sa 10 positions na hawak mo, pag yung isa dyan, down ng, let's say, 40%, kaya mong tulugan yon kasi alam mo, yung 9 other positions mo up. So you see, there's this difference between yung state ng mga big players pag bear market at bull market, which you have to consider. So in that regard, pag new trader ka, sabayan mo yung trend. Kasi yun yung nananaig na payat. Okay? And if you're trading like PSE market na madalas yung mga may outliers pag bear market, even if it's an outlier, still be cautious. Kasi again, selling pressure is there. Anytime it can happen, expect na ano yan, chain reaction yan. Gets? Okay. So, no more questions? Nung oras na ba? Ah, wait. Before I end pala. Gusto ko pala ipakita. Ano yun? Yung sinasabi ko kanina na net long, net short. So, just a quick, maybe if you're this is something interesting sa inyo. Na-share ko na to, I think, second time or third time ko na na-share to. Ayan, nakita nyo ba yung screen? If you go to Binance, diba, may mga leaderboard dyan. This is how, this is not just the only way how I gauge the, how the space is doing, but dito ko din nakikita, like, ano yung parang way of trading ng mga ibang traders na talagang, sabi natin, ibang level, okay? Different way of trading sila. So, diba, you can check here, ano yung mga hawak kaya ng mga top traders? Yung mga talagang proven and tested na yung strategy when it comes to futures. So, ito, dito siya number one eh. Pero, ngayon siya yung number one. So, ano kaya siya? Net long, net short. Tingnan natin. Ayun. So, up 8.2 million to the other day. So, nabawasan na yung gains yun. $8 million na lang. This is total PNL since inopen niya yung account niya. And monthly niya, down siya ng 5 million. Okay, barya lang to compared sa gain niya. Tingnan natin. O, tingnan nyo, mixed siya of long and short positions. Pero, ano kaya siya? Net long or net short? Tingnan nyo. Yung mga long niya, maliliit lang. I would say net short siya. Why? Kasi yung bulk ng gains niya, galing siya sa mga short positions niya. So, nandun yung size niya. Minimal yung mga long niya, yung mga down, pero hindi naman ganun kalaki yung losses niya. So, yun. Yan yung example ng isang portfolio na millions yung hawak in terms of buying power. Mix of long and short positions, pero technically net short. Okay? So, ganun. You can do that if you want. Okay? Any other questions before we end? I think wala na, no? Okay. So, that's 60 minutes of Ask DFT. Thank you for all your questions. Sa lahat ng nagtanong, sana nasagot natin yung mga questions nyo ng maayos. So, see you again, guys, next week. Same time. Siyempre, same place dito sa Zoom. And hoping for more questions, no, coming from you guys. So, that's it for tonight. Good night and see you at the ticker.